for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, March the 29th, 2013. Frank Butler is a speaker of this service teaching on Forget Not His Benefit.
Bible says, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I've needed you all of my life, but I've always been scared of what you would do if I gave you all of my life. I held back, I held on, I kept a secret far from you. I've ran from you often, Lord, not given myself to you. My life you have shown to me, your goodness in all of my life. But something inside said I can't be free if I gave you all of my life. So I held back, I held on, I kept a corner where you couldn't come. You kept on loving me, I couldn't run away from you all of my life. All of my life. I've known all along how much you love me. You don't give stones for bread. I know your goodness shines like the stars above me. Lord, take this knowing, make it trust instead. You have shown to me your goodness in all of my life. But I've always been scared of what you would do if I gave you all of my life. I held back, I held on, I kept a corner where you couldn't come. You kept on loving me, I'll never run away from you all of my life. I surrender, I surrender all. I look to the shepherd, he meets all my needs. Beside the still waters, he faithfully leads, bringing peace to my soul. His love makes me whole. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me over days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. deepest despair, I look to the shepherd. His presence is there, bringing peace to my soul. His love makes me whole. Sing it with me now. Surely goodness, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Follow me, follow me over days of my life, over days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all my days, all my days. Your voices in your hands. Tell him tonight, you are great, O Lord. You are great, O Lord. Great is your name. Great is your name. You're greatly. You are greatly to be praised. You are great, O Lord. You are great, O Lord. Lord, there is none. Lord, there is none like you. Great is your mercy. Great is your mercy. Great is your love. Great is your love. Jesus, we love you. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your power. Great is your power. Great is your mercy, great is your mercy, great is your love, great is your love, great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness, great is your power, great is your power, you are great, O God, come on. You are great, O God. You are great, O God. Great is your name. You are greatly to be praised. You are great, O God. You are great, O God. Lord, there is none. Lord, there is none like you. One time, come on. You are great, O God. Great is your name. You are greatly to be praised. You are Jesus, great, O God. Lord, there is none like you. Lord, there is none like you. Come on, give him a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. May be seated. You're singing good. The Bible says the righteous sing and rejoice. Better than winning the lottery. Better than being somewhere working real hard in the presence of the Lord tonight. Isn't that good? Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's turn tonight to Psalm 103. Hey, bring that back. I'd like to hear myself. Here, you stand there, hold it. Just leave it there for a while. That's a bit more to the right. That's it. Just take that thing. Hey, bring it over here, Don, because I do like to have a little bit over there. I love to hear myself. Just ask my wife. Hallelujah. A merry heart makes you sick. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Some of you Christians need to lighten up. Need to start enjoying your life. Amen. Hallelujah. As Mrs. Ponce would say. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. Don't forget, drop by the website, frankbutler.org. Who did it? The butler did it. Okay, frankbutler.org. Drop by the website. Lots of good news there. And read the testimonies page, what God has done for others, he'll do for you. He's the same today, you know. Did you know he's exactly the same today? Anybody know that? I'm just checking. Okay. Just making sure. Hallelujah. Let's have a look here. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You exist for one reason, and one reason only. That is to bless God. The Bible says you were created by God. You were created for God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Amen. You parents, you bless your children. You provide food, drink, clothing, shelter. You want your children to be healthy and happy and prosperous and successful in every area of their lives. Guess what? Our Heavenly Father is exactly the same. Why? Because we were made in His image and likeness. When He created Adam and Eve, He didn't put them in a desert. He put them in a garden with everything they needed for life and godliness. He used to walk with them and talk with them. What an amazing thing. If you could only start to think what the world would be like today if Adam and Eve had said, no, devil, we take dominion, we reject you. Sin, sickness, death, poverty, want and need, oppression and darkness, and all the curses would not be on the human race today. We'd have heaven on earth. Hallelujah. God raised up Israel.
so that we might have days of heaven on the earth. That's what he promised Israel. He said, if you walk with me and obey me and serve me, you'll have days of heaven on the earth. God's not sick. God's not worried. God's not stressed out. God's not struggling financially. God doesn't disagree. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been around since eternity past, and they've never had a disagreement. There's a good role model right there, isn't there? Hallelujah. And it says here we are to bless the Lord. The Bible says God created all things, and for His pleasure they were created. God created you to give Him pleasure. The Bible says it's God who works in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. From the front row to the back row, God's working in you right now, whether you like it or not, as Brother Richard said. Don't fight God, you'll never win. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. You're not just to bless the Lord when you want something. After 9/11, church attendance rose. Whenever there's an earthquake, a school shooting, or something else, everybody starts talking about God and prayer. People on the media, you listen to them. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. God be with you. A few weeks later, everybody stops talking about God. What a horrible way to treat somebody. You don't go to your spouse a week before Christmas and your birthday say, I really love you. What am I getting? Yet we treat God like that. We treat God like a fool. And the Bible says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a person sows, that they will also reap. If you plant oranges, you don't get barley. If you plant apples, you don't get pineapples. What you plant in your life with your thinking and your speaking and your bodily actions is the crop that comes in. And the first thing you've got to get right is you've got to know that God created you for His purpose. Amen. And look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. It says exactly the same thing almost. Verse 1 says, why is that? You ever notice the Bible repeats itself sometimes? That's because we're so hard-headed and so hard-hearted. God's trying to get our attention. You will never, ever, 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 ever be happy in life until you totally surrender every area of your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That means to neglect, to fail to think on, or to take for granted. Got a lot of Sunday Christians, got a lot of pew sitters, got a lot of spectators. They achieve nothing for Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of churchgoers. They go into church, leave the church. Into church, leave the church. We don't need churchgoers. We need church builders. We need people who are going to stand with Jesus. It says Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. What are you giving? Not just your money. So many preachers talk about your money on Christian television. You got your love, your faith, your joy. You got a lot to give. Amen. And here we're told not to forget His benefits. The word benefits means blessings, gains, profits, and advantages. You know what Paul said in the New Testament? Satan, the devil, should not get the advantage of you. That means the upper hand. Because you're not ignorant, that means without knowledge of his devices. Paul said, if anyone be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You get benefits from your employer. You get health care benefits, God forbid. You get benefits from the government. God forbid. The greatest benefactor who ever lived was Jesus Christ. A benefactor is a helper, healer, giver, supporter, protector, promoter, financier, counselor, and friend. And we're going to have a look tonight at some of the great benefits this side of heaven. See, a lot of non-Christians, they think, oh, Christians crawl through this life. We have a miserable time. We never have any fun. And then when we get to heaven, we get the good stuff. No, 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 no. You get a lot of good stuff this side of heaven. And the first one is in verse 3. Look at it. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins. Everybody say freedom from sin. There's a lot of different words for sin in the Bible. Transgression, lawlessness, iniquity, disobedience. God did not create us for sin. When God created Adam and Eve, there was no sin in their nature. They were perfect like God. Now sin is a lot of things. It's adultery, murder, lying, stealing, a lot of that stuff. But sin is a spirit. It tells us in the book of Ephesians, it's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. There are mental institutions and prisons full of people who have not been able to cope with their sins. The Bible says fools, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. You think it's tough being a Christian? You need to think back how tough it was before you were a Christian. The Bible says, the one who sins, Jesus said it, is a slave to sin. Sin is a hard master. It promises you much, but he ends up giving you nothing. The way of sinners is hard, the Bible says. Sin prevents God from blessing you. Jeremiah 5, verse 25. Listen to it. Your sins hold back good things from you. Everybody say good things, because we're going to get to that in a moment. So your sins hold back good things from you. You can't blame God. You can't blame your family member or some preacher. You got to take responsibility for your own life. On Judgment Day, you're going to stand before Jesus. There'll be no preacher, denomination, or Christian friend standing with you. You are going to give an account. Every idle word will be judged. Every thought will be judged. Everything you've done with your body will be judged. That's why you better stay under the blood. Hallelujah. But the good news is, Jesus said all kinds of sin will be forgiven. But let's have a look. Now, the Christian's worst sin, hopefully, is not murder and lying and stealing and adultery. But there are sins in the church today. The lazy Christian. The lazy Christian is idle, does not cooperate because of dislike for activity or work. The Bible says the desires of the lazy kills them, for their hands refuse to work. The mindset out in the world today is, give me, give me, give me, in Western nations, in America. I don't want to work. I just want everything. That's why people walk through the malls and they get all the junk stuff in the mail and they search on the internet and everything else. If you want to make it in life, work hard. In all labor, there is profit. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And you got the stupid political people in this nation say, tax the rich. Let me tell you a little secret about the rich. I met a lot of them. Most rich people, 99% of them, didn't get there by luck or chance. They worked hard. They didn't get an inheritance or win the lottery. They worked hard. You shouldn't call it taxing the rich. You should call it taxing the successful. Since when is success to be taxed? And let me tell you one big secret that the media and certain politicians don't tell you. Rich people employ a lot of poorer people. What are you doing? You're cursing the people who are blessing you. The Bible says, do not be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. There is the procrastinating Christian, always putting things off to a later time, making excuses and delaying the work of the Lord. The Bible says the lazy person will not plow because of winter. Therefore they will beg in harvest and have nothing. The Christian's worst sin is not always what they do, it's what they don't do. Hear what I just said. The half-hearted Christian lacks force, passion, conviction, and commitment. Jesus said, the one who is not with me is against me. The one who does not gather with me scatters abroad. These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There is the indifferent Christian, lethargic, unenthusiastic, lacks emotion, concern, or involvement. Jesus said to the church in Revelation, I know your deeds, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That's pretty harsh words. You know, God wants every one of you, front row to back row, to be on fire for Him. There's not one standard for a pastor, one for an evangelist, one for another special pets of Christian. Every one of you should be on fire for Jesus Christ. You're either with Jesus or you're against Jesus. What's it going to be? The wicked, they're enthusiastic about their sin. They're loud and boastful about their sex sins, their drugs, and their alcohol. While Christians keep their mouth shut and don't say a word. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. You can be meek, but you can be strong in the faith. The double-minded Christian is unable to decide to stay with something. They're on again, off again. They're like yo-yos, down and up, down and up. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that person expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's written to Christians. Why don't you make up your mind? I'm going to stand. I don't care what it's going to cost me. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm not concerned about the past, the present, or the future. I'm going to live for Christ. There is a compromising Christian. They meet halfway or midway, and they have a divided loyalty. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. They will hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? There is a critical, murmuring and complaining Christian. They're never happy about anything. They walk around looking like they're sucking lemons. Look like they've just been to the dentist. And they get so super spiritual, they go looking for a demon spirit under every rock. And they go examining everybody else's life when they don't get their own life together. You be very careful who you let lay hands on you. I learned that a long time ago. I've been in the ministry 35 years. I don't let many people lay hands on me. If you don't feel right about a person, just lift the hand off, said, it's okay. Jerry said it this morning, and it's a lesson all Christians need to learn. You're allowed to say no. When I first got saved, I did anything and everything. Went there, did it. I was burning myself out. And the Lord said, hey, follow me. Follow me. You don't let, I had a brother over in Phoenix, and he had a bad spirit. He came, I got a word for you. After the service, we had a great move of God. You know, the devil always attacks before a service or after a service. Amen. And I took his hand off him. I said, no, I don't want that word. I've had people go to my wife when she's with me. I got a word for you and your husband. I've told my wife, Vicky, if anybody comes to you with a word, you bring him to me. Hallelujah. Stupid Christians. There are stupid Christians and there are stupid pastors, folks. Terrible thing to say, but it's true. But there are a lot of good men and women, too. They're the ones we major on. Amen? And the critical, murmuring, complaining Christian, do not murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Do all things without complaining and disputing. There is the fearful, doubting, and unbelieving Christian. They're skeptical and uncertain, and they lack confidence in God and His promises. Make up your mind. You're either going to believe God or not believe God. Oh, I can't believe God. I don't get it. I don't get it. Amen. Put your hand up. If you've got a right arm attached to your body, put it up in the air. Uplift it up high. You've all got free will. I don't see anybody here who's demon-possessed tonight. You might be demon-oppressed, but you've all got free will. You just demonstrated that you've all got free will. Well, make up your mind, Lord, I'm willing to consecrate my life to you completely. Any pastor will tell you, and I teach this at pastors' meetings, you'll have one family come into a church, and they'll take off like a rocket, full of joy and power and miracles and answers to prayers and blessing everyone else, blessing the church. Another family will come into the church for years of struggle. And I've spoken to a lot of pastors about this. Why is that? Pay attention. Personal choice. Hear what I just said? Personal choice. All of you can make a choice tonight. You just put your hand up. Some of you, if you didn't want to put your hand up, didn't have to. You've got to make the right choices. You've got to make the right decisions. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when he appeared to the 11, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. They were with him for over three and a half years. And he corrected them when he came back from the dead. First person who saw him come, one of the first came back from the dead, was Mary Magdalene. She had several spirits cast out of her. She went and told the great men of paste and flour, and they didn't believe her. See, unbelief is faith in reverse. God will not tolerate unbelief. Satan blinds the minds of those who do not believe. And unbelief is not just for the unbeliever. Unbeliever Christians are filled with unbelief. You've got churches, I won't name the denominations, we don't believe in healing. We don't believe in the rapture. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. We don't believe in deliverance. We don't believe in resurrection. We don't believe in the blessing of God on our finances and other material things. Well, what do you believe? You cut all the miracles out of the Bible, you ain't got much left. Satan hates that book because it's a miraculous book. Jesus said, if you have faith and do not doubt, all things, everybody say all things. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. The only remedy for fear, doubt, and unbelief is faith. Amen. There was a Christian who lacked zeal and passion. It says, Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Give me a wave if you're zealous. Amen. When I heard about Jesus, and I heard about the laying on of hands, and I heard about healing, and I heard about deliverance, I couldn't wait. 3 nights after I got saved, I led a medical doctor and his wife to the Lord. I left the music business, all I told you a little bit about last night. And for those who weren't here, I used to perform with AC/DC and the Bee Gees and all that rubbish. On my way to hell, living like the devil. I got radically saved, radically changed, powerfully filled with the Holy Ghost. And I got a job driving cabs, taxis. In Sydney, 4 million people. Anybody ever driven cabs? It's a stinking job, isn't it? You drive from 3 in the afternoon to 3 in the morning. I did the night shift, and you get 60-40. The owner of the cab gets 60%, you get 40. And I've had all these prostitutes and drug addicts and kooks and weirdos, and I was preaching the gospel, and I was laying hands on them. I was casting out devils. That was the most anointed taxi in Australia. And you got them captivated because they're in the back or they might be in the front. And you're doing, 20, 30, 40 miles an hour on a freeway, 50 or whatever. And they can't get out. Hallelujah. And earlier in my life, and I'd be speaking to somebody. I'm not making this up. This would be 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out. I say, listen, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 days later, I read it in the Bible. Bible says, open your mouth, I'll fill it. That's what God said. Some people say, oh, I can't witness. I don't know enough scriptures. Yes, you do. The Word of God is in your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Jesus said it. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that Jesus did. Hallelujah. You've got to depend on the Holy Ghost, not on yourself. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, Jesus said. Be zealous and repent. Why don't you have a go for Jesus? Peter the fisherman. He was a professional fisherman. He's out there in that violent storm. Amen. And Jesus comes walking on the water. Would have passed them by. Do you know it says that? He said that Jesus was walking on the water. It says he would have passed them by. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't pass you by? Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for Jesus? What would you be doing tonight if it wasn't for Jesus? And Peter, that great man of paste and flour, he says, Jesus says, don't be afraid. That's filled with fear. He says, it is I. And Peter, listen, in the very next verse, Peter, that great man of faith, he says, if it's you, Jesus just said it's me. See, it's typical Christian. Typical Christian. Are you sure, Lord? Oh, I don't know, Lord. No. Peter says, Jesus says, don't be afraid, it is I. Immediately, Peter says, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come. Now, he was a professional fisherman. That boat was the source of his income. That boat protected him from storms. He stepped out of everything he had, everything he owned, and everything he knew, and he stood on the water with Jesus Christ. A lot of people criticize him for sinking. I don't. At least he got out and had a go. Give the Lord a shout of praise. I said, give the Lord a shout of praise. I used to preach, oh, Peter failed. He looked at the wind and the waves. Hey, I've looked at the wind and the waves many times. Hallelujah. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And listen to this, folks. If the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? On judgment day, there's going to be a big screen. It's going to be titled, "This Was Your Life." And you're going to be sweating, and you're going to be trembling, and Jesus is going to say, push the play button. And the angel's going to push the play button. You're going to think, oh, the filthy, rotten, wicked, stupid, foul, evil, selfish, destructive things I've thought, said, and done. And he's going to push the screen. It's going to go red. The blood of Jesus cleans us from all sin. That's all you got. We're scarcely saved. Oh, hallelujah. Why is this a great benefit? Being free from sin. Because tonight, when your head hits the pillow, there's going to be no sin between you and your God, and no sin between you and anyone else. Sin shortens your life. The Bible says the days of the wicked will be shortened. Drug addicts die young. Alcoholics die young. People who commit sexual sin die young. People who smoke cigarettes die young. You can't go to heaven if you smell like an ashtray. Oh, blessed be God. Repent, turn away from your sins, so that sin will not be your ruin. Look at verse 10. The Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins, or punished us according to our iniquities. If I was God, I would have sent you all to hell a long time ago. I'd be a terrible God. You wouldn't want me as God, trust me. All of you, go to hell. Do not pass go, do not collect 200. Go straight to hell. Verse 11, look at it. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy to those who fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. You know what God says? It says he takes our confessed sins and hides them behind his back. It's in the Bible. You walk up to God, you say, what do you got behind your back? He says, none of your business. Another scripture says, Blessed is the person whose sins are covered. If God can forget all your filthy, rotten, stinking, low-down things you've thought, said, and done, why don't you forget it too? Amen. Well, we're going to be sin-free. Paul said, sin will not have dominion over us. What a wonderful blessing to be free from sin. Look at verse 3. Forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases. Everybody say healing. A disease is a condition that hinders normal bodily function. God did not create us for sin. God did not create us for sickness. There was no sickness when God created Adam and Eve. No flu, Alzheimer's, cancer, leprosy, migraines, sugar diabetes. There was no sickness. Everybody likes being healthy. Even the wicked will do anything in their power to prolong their life. Amen. And Jesus came to reverse the curses. He replaced sin with righteousness. Sickness with healing and health. Poverty with abundance. Evil spirits with the Holy Spirit. Death with everlasting life. That's not good news. I don't know what is. Hallelujah. There's the gospel. I just gave it to you. One sentence. Listen. Jesus healed multitudes. You know what a multitude is? It's a large crowd. That's what it is. Well, wait for this. It gets betterer and gooderer. Pay attention. 5 times in the Gospels, it says he healed great multitudes. Wow. You imagine a football stadium 3 or 4 times over? 60, 80,000 multiplied 3 or 4 times. Jesus and the early church, wait for it, they did a lot more healing than they did forgiven sins. Today we've got this wimpy Christianity. Bow your head, put your hand up, we've said, if you want to become a Christian, whatever you do, don't walk down the front, make a public declaration of your faith. I always try and get people to the front when possible. Some meetings you can't, they're too big. If you can't stand for Jesus in a meeting or in a church, you're probably not going to stand for him anywhere else. And Jesus in the early church healed a lot more people. Jesus forgave the woman at the well, paralyzed man through the roof, paralyzed man by the pool, go and sin no more, so worse thing don't come upon you. The woman caught in adultery, he forgave the 12 pests several times. That's the 12 disciples. I call them the 12 pests because they drove Jesus crazy. They wanted to bring fire from heaven. The kids come up, get the kids out of here. He said, Jesus, leave the kids alone. A woman we talked about last night, she touched Jesus. She got healed. And she said, somebody touched her. He said, what are you talking about, somebody touched you? Another woman, she came to Jesus, my daughter is at home. She cries out to Jesus, my daughter is at home, tormented by evil spirits. And they say to Jesus, send her away, she cries after us. They were a great help, weren't they? So Jesus in the early church healed multitudes, great multitudes. Just imagine the great multitudes he healed. He healed many. It says he healed many so that those with afflictions pushed on him and touched him. He healed all. He went about doing good. Everybody say Jesus was a do-gooder. And so am I. God, he's your example. He's your only role model. Not some movie star, politician, preacher or anybody else. Your only role model is Jesus Christ. He's an example. He said, I've given you an example. Go and do likewise. Amen? And it says, Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed. Now, sickness is not a blessing. I'm going to prove it to you. It says in the book of Job, after he was healed in the New Testament, it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job. So sickness is called captivity. There's a woman in the Gospel of Luke. And she was bound by a spirit of infirmity. So sickness is bondage. So it's captivity, it's bondage, and also, here, it says, the scripture I just read, he healed all that were oppressed. Sickness oppresses you. It makes you miserable, and everyone else around you miserable. Amen. It's a faith robber. It steals away your joy. It steals away your peace. Amen. He promised us long life. We're going to see that. I don't want to get ahead of it. We're going to get to that in a moment. But listen, he promised us life. With long life, I'll satisfy you. It doesn't say with long life, with a little bit of sickness and pain and suffering. There are many scriptures he promised us life. Oh, the Bible says the Holy Spirit that went into the tomb and brought Jesus back from the dead will in the same way give life to our earthly bodies. Amen. The same Holy Ghost who brought Jesus back from the dead's in you. How much closer can he get? Amen. Jesus healed everyone. It says in Luke's account, he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus healed those that were in need of healing. In Luke's gospel, Jesus received the people and healed those that were in need of healing. If you're in need of healing tonight, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in your relationships, let faith rise in your heart and believe, Lord, you're going to heal me before I leave this place. Amen. Jesus healed every sickness. Jesus healed all manner of sickness. Jesus healed various diseases. He healed many that were sick of various diseases and did cast out many devils. He healed infirmities. That's a disability or a malady. He healed plagues. That's a destructive bacterial disease. In the same hour. And listen, if you're sick or in pain, you don't need healing next month. If you've got a terminal disease, you don't need healing next year. What does the Bible say? Now is the day of salvation. Now faith in a now God gets now miracles. Our job as Christians is to bring God's power into the now. Amen. Jesus healed numerous physical and emotional disorders, such as fever, blindness, dumbness, deafness, lameness, paralysis, convulsions, insanity, leprosy, hemorrhaging, dropsy. That's excessive bodily fluid. He healed the disabled, the maimed, or those without limbs, the dying and the dead. Give him a shout of praise tonight. Come on, he's the great healer. Hallelujah. Jesus healed those who came to him in person. A leper, two blind men, a blind man and a woman hemorrhaging. Jesus healed those who were brought to him by others. They brought to Jesus many that were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with the word and healed all that were sick. They brought to him all that were diseased and those that were demon-possessed, and he healed many. Amen. Oh, I like it. He healed the father's demon-possessed son. Jesus healed from a distance. Those who were too sick to be brought to him, people came, friends came to him, or relatives, the centurion for his paralyzed servant at home, the mother for her daughter filled with evil spirits at home. They came to Jesus, stood in his presence, he spoke words to them, they went home, and when they got home, their miracles were waiting for them. Don't get so excited now. Hallelujah. Amen. God's omnipresent, you know. Did you know that? God's omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. Isn't that good? Oh, hallelujah. See, you're so excited. Amen. Blessed be God. What a great benefit it is. When you're healthy, you're happy. When you're sick, you're miserable. Amen. Look at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. Those who are sad, gloomy, and weighed down. That's why Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, Jesus can heal you regardless of age. I touched on it last night. Look at verse 5. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. God's in the renewing business. The Bible says those who be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. They will still bring forth fruit in old age. They'll be fresh and flourishing. Amen. Oh, he'll renew our youth like the eagles. For centuries, an eagle has been a symbol of courage, strength, and long life. Problem with the church today in America, we've got too many turkeys. Now my favorite turkey is the bald, my favorite eagle is the bald eagle. That's my personal favorite. Just thought I'd let you know that. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Hallelujah. Listen, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow tired or weary. He gives power to the weak. It doesn't say those under 65. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Except those under 65. Don't say that. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will utterly fall. But those, and I'm going to add it, of any age who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. Listen. It is written, even to your old age and gray hairs, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I created you, I'll carry you, and I will deliver you. Jesus is the fountain of youth, you know. It's a fact. It is a fact. I've been a people watcher since I was a teenager. I was in the entertainment business when I was 18, 19, up till when I was 26 years old. And I watch people. I watch body language, I watch people's countenances, I watch their interaction with other people. And a lot of those things are giveaways. And I see movie stars, politicians, sports personalities, famous musicians. Once they hit about 40, they lose that spark of life. I can see it. I can name several actors now who are up in their 60s. They're real hunks in the 70s and 80s. and they are dead. They're walking dead. I'm going to give you one example. What's his name? The guy, the English actor, who's in those horrible movies, Silence of the Lambs. What's his name? Anthony Hopkins. Okay. I turned on Hellivision one night, and there sits Diane Sawyer from Prime Slime with Anthony Hopkins in this massive mansion. And she's interviewing him, you know, sitting opposite, and now your movie's a real success, blah, blah. And he made a lot of good movies in the 50s and 60s. He was in some great movies about World War II and whatever else. He was a really good actor. But he's got into all this satanic weird stuff now. Anyway, he's sitting there. I almost fell off my chair. I did not expect this. She didn't either. She said, well, what do you do with your day? You know, what's your schedule each day when you wake up? Do you have something you do? And he said, oh, yeah, I wake up, I go into the mirror, and I say, why the blink, blink, blink am I here? She thought he was joking. She's laughed, and I thought, he's joking, right? And she said, you're joking, right? He said, no, I'm not with this spirit. You get a voice of profit a man, gain the whole world, lose his soul. And I see it, I know several other, you would know them, they're famous actors, and especially them, they often get into these weird causes. Once they hit 40, 50, they get into these weird, save the whale, hug the tree, save this. They join weird cults or whatever. I'm serious. You know why? Because there's a void in their life. And they're trying to fill it with something. I'm doing something good. We're not saved by works, are we? Saved by grace through faith. And I meet Christians all around the world, 70, 80 and 90, and they have a joy. And they have John Osteen, the founder of Lakewood Church. He was in his mid-70s. I knew him. My vice president was a close friend of John's. Kenneth Hagin, just full of the Holy Ghost. Reinhard Bonnke, he preaches to 3 million people in Africa. He's like a big kid. I've ministered with him. Who's heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke, you ever seen the video where it shows you 3 million people? You don't see that on the nightly news, do you? They don't show you that. In Africa and India, where we go, Pakistan, he has 3 million people in one service. And he's like a big kid. You heard him. He's German background, right? He's a white guy, and he goes all over Africa. He's got several 18-wheelers that carry these tons of equipment. You don't make money in Africa, folks. You don't make money preaching the gospel in Africa. And have you ever seen Reinhard? He gets Jesus loves you. And Jesus, he's just full of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Oh, I like meeting some people with some passion. A bit of enthusiasm goes a long, long way. They're tired of these stuffy, old, boring, dry, starchy, humorless, half-dead Christians. Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I was a kid once, I still am. Listen to what Jesus just said. Unless you become like little children, you're not going to go to heaven. So lighten up. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus is the fountain of youth. Amen. A happy heart gives you a happy countenance. Amen. Oh, wonderful Jesus. You're not getting old, you're just getting closer to meeting Jesus. The outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. You're getting older even as I'm talking to you. You're aging. You're maturing. That's a good word. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. The founding pastor of Hillsong in Australia, my pastor, was the first worship leader there. We had 25 people. Frank Houston, powerful man of God. His wife, Hazel, when she was in her 60s, 65, she'd pick me up. She'd come over there, let me give you a hug. And she'd pick me up, lift you off the floor. There's a lady over in North Carolina, Dorothy, Sister Dorothy. It was an international, I've never seen anything like it in my life. International Pentecostal Holiness Church. We've got about 400 or 500 members. Had powerful services. I've been there. This woman, she's 90 years of age. Every time the Holy Ghost starts moving, she runs around the room. She doesn't walk. She doesn't hurry. She runs. I said to Pastor Ken, I said the first time, what's this lady? He said, oh, the Holy Ghost comes on her. And it was all over. It was a real thing. It was just a supernatural thing that happens. You know something? 90 years of age. Running. Hey? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is the fountain of youth. And we're plugged in. He's the vine. We're the branches. His power is flowing through you right now. So you got to believe. What did Jesus say? Let it be done to you according to your faith. Whoa, hallelujah. Everybody say, whoa. Come on, get the legs going. Come on now. Everybody say, whoa. Amen. There it is right there. There's the scripture. He's the vine, we're the branches. Well, how come we're of a different spirit? How come we're not as victorious? How come we're not healthy? How come we're not happy? How come we're not blessed? He hasn't changed, has he? We're the ones who've got to change. Got to conform. You know, the Bible says we've got to conform to his image and likeness. Amen. Look at verse 4. Forget not all his benefits, who redeems your life from destruction. Everybody say deliverance from destruction. That word redeem means to buy back. That word destruction in the Hebrew means the grave. God did not create us for sin. God did not create us for sickness. God did not create us for death. None of you woke up today and looked at the calendar and said, what a great day to die. Everyone wants to live a long time. Life is short, eternity is long. Look at verse 14. For the Lord knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Everybody turn to the person on either side of you and say, you're a dirtbag. Bible says, from dust you were taken, guess what? Dust you're going to return. Hey, when I die, don't come to my funeral, I won't be there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The body without the spirit is dead. When I die, get a lot of food, a lot of drink, big worship team, and praise and worship God. For us to live is Christ, to die is gain. Give him a victory shout tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I love it. Look at it. Verse 14. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dirtbags. As for man, his days are like the grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes. The wind passes over it, it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. You get some air freshener. You get some air freshener in your living room. You see the vapor, and it's gone. The Bible says life is like a vapor. I just turned 29 a few weeks ago, and my life has gone so fast. I'm going to tell you how short your life is. Eyes front, ears open. If you were just born, if you just popped out of your mother's womb, the average lifespan for an American and an Australian, the average lifespan for women is 80 years. Now, people live longer into their late 80s, 90s. The average lifespan for men in America is 78. Now, the men die a little bit earlier because we do all the work. Also, it takes the women longer to get ready. They get their hair done. There was a man, you might have seen on the news, it was last year, it was 2011 or early 2012. It was either Montana or Wyoming, I believe. He was 114. He was born in 1896. His wife died when he was, she died when she was 58. I'm guessing he didn't tell us the time. He never remarried. He stood up behind a lectern, had a suit and a tie on. I mean, he looked like Richard. How old are you now, Richard? 21, right? He was a little guy, little frame, and he got up and he stood there and he spoke. And do you realize what that man saw? The first airplane, the first World War I, World War II, Vietnam, microwaves, computers, first man on the moon. I mean, he'd be a walking encyclopedia. 114. And he had good, as far as I could see, he had good health. When I see these people, I often try and track down whether they're Christians or not. And many people who have lived, God has promised us long life. With long life I'll satisfy you. Keep my commandments in your heart for length of days and long life and peace. They'll add to you. See, Jesus takes the stress out of living. Listen, we are not designed physically, emotionally or spiritually to worry or fret about 1 second ahead. We're not. Why worry? You worry, and then it changes. Oh, it worked out anyway. Or you worry, and it goes wrong anyway. And you know what? You think of the things you worried about in your life, and then a year, 5 years later, they don't mean a thing. Worry is a grave digger. It'll put you in your grave before your time. It will. And it robs you of faith. Now listen, if you live to be 80 years, this is how short your life is. 29,200 days, 4,160 weeks, here's the real shocker, 960 months. Now this is if you're just born. We don't even live 1,000 months. Does that bother you a bit? Bothers me. Amen. Life is so short. That's why we've got, Brother Richard said it earlier, God has a plan for every one of you. And you've got to find that plan. You didn't just happen. You don't just float around, I'm a Christian, hallelujah. God's got a plan for you. A powerful plan. Who knows what you could be doing in 6 months' time, in a year's time. Without a vision, without a dream, you're going to perish. With a vision, with a dream, you're going to succeed. Amen. They've had a vision at the camp here. Amen. Sister Patty and Brother Kevin, you've had, and Brother Don and Alan and others, you've had a vision for this camp. They've hung on to the vision. They hung on to the dream. Satan wants to rob you of your dreams and your visions. Amen. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The good news is there is a hell, but we don't have to go there. Give him a victory shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Forget not all his benefits. He satisfies your desire with good things. Everybody say good things. God did not create you for sin, sickness, death, or lack, or need. When God created Adam and Eve, I told you earlier, he put them in a garden. Everything they needed. What a wonderful place that must have been. No sin, no sickness, no death, no worry, no stress, no evil, no cable television, no pizzas, no fried chicken, no coffee, no tea, no excessive salt. Fast food will give you fast death. Takeaway food will take away your life. Junk food will give you junk health. Now, what are some good things? Book of Proverbs, write it down. 28 verse 10. The upright or the righteous will have good things in their possession. Not bad, eh? Everybody say good things. Say one more time, good things. Okay, let's look at some good things. She who finds herself a husband finds herself a good thing and is blessed by the Lord. That's the Frank Butler version. He who finds himself a wifey, finds himself a good thing and is blessed by the Lord. You get engaged, you got a ring, oh, you're engaged, when are you going to get married? Oh, in a few months' time. Oh, you're shackled for life. This is what people say about marriage. Oh, the partying's over. No more fun. I've read studies. People who are married have better health and they live longer. Why? The Bible says two are better than one. When one falls, the other one will lift them up. I wouldn't have made it without my wife. Let me tell you now. I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it wasn't for my wife. She is solid as a rock. Nothing phases her. I get more bugged and peeved and annoyed about things and people than she does. She puts me to shame. Don't tell her I said that, though. Hallelujah. I don't want her to get built up. Amen. I'm just kidding. Listen. A wife is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. I was in Seattle some time ago. I met a couple. I met them on the altar call. They came out for prayer for someone else. And they've been married 65 years. I meet Christians all the time. Been married for years. And they're happy. Children are good things. Amen. When a woman's, you know, several months expecting, they don't walk up and say, when is the fetus due? It's easy to call it a fetus when you want to kill it. Sort of, you know, it takes away a little bit of the guilt about it. Well, when does the baby do? Oh, it's due, you know, for 3 months, 4 months' time. You wait till they're two. You wait till they're teenagers. You see, people are always speaking curses over the blessings of God. Marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Having kids is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Health is a good thing from a good God. How are you feeling? I feel good. Good health is a good thing from a good God. Did you get that job? Yeah, it's a good job. Good hours, good conditions, good salary. God's blessed me with a good job. Did you get that house? Did you get that car? Yes, God has blessed us with a good house and a good car. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Jesus said, if you as parents know how to give your kids good things, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? Amen. The Bible says those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Oh, I love it. Amen. He opens his hand. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. See, look what it says in verse 5. He satisfies your desire with good things. Another time, King David said, he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. I don't know about you, but I'm a satisfied customer. Hallelujah. And look down here, verse 5, verse 7, I should say. Forget not all his benefits he made known in his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. Everybody say guidance. You've got to pray for direction. King David said, show me your ways. Here's the good news. Blessed is everyone who lives in his ways. I said it right at the beginning of the message. You'll never be satisfied or content in life till you're living in God's perfect will. And you don't run ahead of God. Jesus said numerous times, follow me. imitate me. Too many Christians are running ahead of God. Hey, Jesus, follow me. This is what I want to do. No. You got to follow Jesus. And look what it says. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds, that's his miracles, to the children of Israel. When you live in God's ways, miracles and answers to prayers will be in every area of your life. Amen. The word benefits is mentioned 3 times in the King James. And these are some of the benefits that come from the great benefactor, Jesus Christ, this side of heaven. There are others. But the scripture says, how can I repay the Lord for all the benefits he's given to me? And one other scripture says, where it mentions the name, the word benefits, blessed be the Lord who occasionally loads me with benefits. Blessed be the Lord who on my birthday and at Christmas loads me up with benefits. Is that what it says? What does it say? Daily. Oh, you know it all. You know it all, William. There's one at every congregation. He's a blessing. Daily. He daily loads us with benefits. Now, is today a day? You sure? This is the day the Lord has made? Jesus Christ is the same today? Are you sure about that? Now is the day of salvation? Goodness and mercy will follow me some of the days, I mean all the days of my life. See, today's a day. Today's a day. He wants to load everyone up with benefits. He wants to load you up with things you are believing God for. He wants to load you up with things you don't even know about. Amen. Amen. He wants to do things in your life you don't even know about. I've had many, many people that come out this and this and this and this, and they get all that and they get even more. It's true. Naaman the leper, he wasn't even a Christian or a Jew. And he obeyed the prophet. Oh, there's a good word right there. He obeyed the man of God, and he comes back and he says, it doesn't say he got healed of leprosy. He had leprosy. It says his flesh became like a little child. God outdid him. Amen. He's probably at least 40, if not 50 or older, to be the captain of the Syrian army. And he wasn't a Jew and he wasn't a Christian. He got a miracle. So what's our excuse? Amen. This is a day out of your life. This day will never be repeated. Your heart is beating. Do you know you get a pocket calculator and you can average out how many times your heart's going to beat over those 80 years? Do you know I can make a luncheon appointment on this iPad in the year 3089 at 1:43 in the afternoon? Technology's going to outlive us. Your house, your car, all the junk in your house is probably going to outlive you. That's why the Bible says, make the most of your time, for the days are evil. That's why the Bible says, teach me to number my days, that I might apply my heart to live wisely. Stop making stupid, dumb, selfish, destructive, sinful decisions. Here's the invitation tonight. I perceive most of you are Christians, but if you're not a Christian, you can respond. If you are a backslidden in your thinking, in your words, in your actions, if you had sinful things in your thinking, your words or your actions, and you're backslidden, well, tonight you're going to front slide and come back to Jesus. The Bible says the backslider will be filled with their ways. I've never met a happy backslider. I've never met a happy drug addict. I've never met a happy person in sexual sin. I've never met a happy alcoholic. Sin makes you miserable. It says it in the Bible. Way of sinners is hard. So here's the invitation. Here it comes. If you want the Lord to load you up with benefits, jump to your feet. I said jump. Oh, lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Say, I love you, Jesus. You're the best thing since sliced bread. Matter of fact, Jesus, you're better than sliced bread. Because you created the sliced bread. And Lord, you are the bread of life. And Lord, you are my great benefactor. Lord, forgive me for depending on myself. Forgive me for sinful thinking, sinful words, sinful actions. Forgive me for my laziness, my indifference, my procrastination, my critical spirit, my murmuring and complaining, for me to be undisciplined. Lord, forgive me for those things. I will not tolerate them in my life. And Lord Jesus, from this day forth, you are my benefactor, my helper, healer, giver, supporter, protector, provider, financier, counselor, and my very best friend. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight, it's a night out of my life, never to be repeated. And I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything I can from heaven above. I believe and I receive. And the devil can go to hell because my life is off limits. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. Tonight's my night. Lord, I'm ready. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him a big victory shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Can we get this? Come here. Help me move this back. Come on, men. Quick, couple of men. Run. Come on, you muscly men, you. Quick. There you go. There, just move it out of the way. And the flowers, too. You can have the flowers. There. I'll sell them to you for $5. There you go. Frank Butler Ministries, $5. Amen. Come on, you want God to load you up with benefits? Run down the front. Quick. Power of God's here tonight. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus. Don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Quickly. Come on. Pull it all down tonight. He's the vine, you're a branch. I don't want anybody standing behind anybody. Quickly. Come on. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus. Don't be looking around. Just one line. Quickly up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Quick. Hallelujah. A couple of men get back there to help me. Amen. Just one line across the front. Come on, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. This is holy ground tonight. This is His church, the body of Christ on earth. I don't want anybody standing behind anybody. Some of the men help me. Some of the men help me move these people off to the side. Quick, move them off to the side. I just want one line. No, no, no. You're not paying attention. One line across the front. There you go. Come on, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Quick, look to Jesus. Let God have you tonight. Say, Lord, you're the potter and I'm the clay. Your will be done in every area of my life. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Amen. Blessed be God. Come on. Quick, 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 quick. In here, buddy. Touch it tonight, Lord. Touch it. For you have been tested, for you have been proved, and you have been found faithful, says the Lord. You have been faithful to me, faithful to your household, and faithful to my people. You give me your very best. You have never, ever held back. You are unselfish in every area of your life. You always put me first, and you always put my others first. This night, my daughter, I'm going to put you first. Touch it, Lord, right now. Breathe on it tonight. You may kiss the bride. There. Come over here. Come on. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, tonight's the night. Load me up with benefits. This morning we want Niagara Falls. See, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't want drips and drops. We want Niagara Falls. Amen. Oh, everybody lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Niagara Falls. Come on. Lift your hands. Come on. You're doing good. There you go. Oh, that's it. Touch it tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. We agree. Good on you, brother. Good to see you again. Come on, let's stand. Quickly, let's stand. Wonderful, gee. You got any napkins here or some Kleenex? I didn't bring them. Is this clean, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, brother. Is this made in Scotland, is it? It's made in... You're not getting it back. It's mine. Listen, it's good to have fun in the house of the Lord. There's a time to be serious. Listen, there's a time to be still. But there's a time to have fun. And the greatest men I've met and women of God have been happy. And I'm talking about Reinhard Bonnke and John Osteen and the founding pastor of Hillsong. And folks, we need to be happy today. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. See, drugs and alcohol are on the increase and even sexual activities on the increase because people are looking for a high. They're looking for an escape. They're looking for an experience. But Satan's leading them to hell with all that stuff. And you know, somebody wrote a book a long time ago. It was Brother Shikarian from the Full Gospel Businessman. The title of the book was The Happiest People on Earth. Do you remember that book at all? Any people remember that book? It was a good book. He wrote a book. He founded the Full Gospel Businessmen. They went all over the world. They're a great organization. And he wrote that book, Christians. And he went through it and went through scriptures and he gave examples. Catherine Kuhlman. Who remembers Catherine Kuhlman? Wonderful. She's just full of Jesus. She just was always full of Jesus and upbeat and the whole. Folks, we all need to live there. And it's a matter of choice. We want to get people filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a couple last night filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues. Everybody say, God's not an Englishman. Everybody say, I'm sure he's an Australian. Amen. So when you get to heaven, you're going to see kangaroos on the streets of gold. Kangaroo. You're going to see koala bears at the front gate of heaven there, at the pearly gates. Amen. But listen, you need power to live the Christian life. Jesus said, if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. He didn't leave us cold. He didn't leave us powerless or defenseless. He said, I send you power from on high. And you need that power to live the Christian life in victory. So tonight, if you're here and you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, you do not yet pray with other tongues, come and stand here now. Quickly, come on, quickly. Don't be embarrassed, don't be shy. Tonight's the night. I perceive most of you are filled, but if there's one or more people here who aren't, we want to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyone here, quickly? Quickly? Amen, amen, amen. Let's go out with a worship song. Hey, Brother Kyle, do you want to do that? Can we set that up real quick? Get one of the men to help him over there with the equipment. That'd be good. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, I thank you for loading me up with benefits. And Lord, I'm not going to let go until I see everyone fulfilled. Lord, I believe and I receive you daily. Load me with benefits for myself, my loved ones, and others. And Lord, I promise to stand in this place and everywhere else and give you praise and glory for all the benefits that you have given, that you are giving to me. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Blessed be God.
We thank you, Lord, for your mighty power that's been poured out. Thank you, Lord, for your servant. Thank you, Lord, for pouring your life through him to us. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you that you pardon our iniquities, heal all our diseases, redeem our soul from the pit, crown our life with loving kindness and truth, and renew our youth as that of the eagle. Thank you that you will teach us to number our days, and we will present to you a heart of wisdom. We thank you, Lord, that we will go out of here in a blaze of glory for your glory and power, Lord. Thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.